glad we solved that mystery of where John's drink was.
Yeah, he sipped it.
Yeah, for listeners, he just drank it.
Yeah, I was excited because I have my emotional support horchata, and then John was like, oh, I should get one, and then he scurried off, and alas, he had already finished it.
Put it in the trash.
Oh.
Because it was empty.
Should we have gotten you two?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
It's okay, I have my water bottle, and hydration is important.
It is.
Do you know what else is important?
What?
Hi, and welcome to Blank Bodies, Vampire the Masquerade V5, tabletop, and horror podcast. I'm your host, Hunter, and as always, I'm joined by the thirsty gong and
John.
That was a
John.
Good sound.
This water bottle good. Makes good sounds.
Yep.
And I'm Sarah. Hi. Welcome to Heck. And by Heck, I mean Salubri Part 2. The Eat, Pray, Love episode.
Yep, we're lubed up and ready to go. I mean, salubed up.
So, for those who might be jumping into the middle of things, as part of our Vampire the Masquerade Clan deep dive series, we have our patrons vote on the order in which we cover the clans. Salubri is what they chose. Interesting choice this time.
Yeah, not what we expected.
Not what we expected. I was expecting other
ones.
But anyway, it's fine.
Someone made a joke and then everyone just said, okay.
Yeah, I appreciate that our listeners are like, you know what, if something's ha-ha-y enough, we'll just like...
Do it for the meme.
We'll do it for the goof.
Yep.
I'm here for the goof. We'll do it for the gram. So the way this goes is part one is vibes, culture, disciplines, the basics of the clan. We have just done that.
Yeah.
So you can go back to part one. Part two is clan history, major NPCs, lore sheets, that kind of stuff. And then we have a bonus episode. For Salubri, we'll be talking about that third eye thing and that, their discipline specifics and how that interacts with real-world cultural implications and things. So, woohoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, content warning on this. I guess the best way to explain it is there that existential dread that comes with Diablery, that's just going to be coming up a lot. And, you know, demons, that's going to be coming up a lot. Some Orientalist problems, so, you know, if you're not in the mood for that. You can skip this episode for now and come back later, or skip it entirely.
Yeah.
You respect your choices. Sources that we have for this episode, strap in.
Strapped.
Vampire Player's Guide for 5th Ed, the V5 Companion, Clan Book Salubri, Lore of the Bloodlines, 20th Anniversary Vampire, Player's Guide to the High Clans, 20th Anniversary Dark Ages.
Dark Ages.
Ooh. Veil of Night, Book of Nod, Kindred of the Ebony Kingdom, Book of Nod, Apocrypha.
Oh.
Ooh. Becca's Jihad Diary, Winds of the East, Jerusalem by Night, Knights of Prophecy, Clan Book Tremere, Tremere Revised, Layer of the Hidden, which is from Dark Ages, The Transylvania Chronicles, The Book Gehenna, Road of Heaven, The Black Hand, Guide to the Talmay Ra, Clan Book Asimite, Encyclopedia Vampirica, Clan Book Zamitzi, Sunset Empire, and then Hengi Gyoke, Shapeshifters of the East, and also Kindred of the East.
Hmm. That's some books.
That's books.
That's a few of them.
I had opened so many fucking books. I had so many tabs open.
It's funny that, like, with as little, like, as most people know about Salubri, and, I mean, there's quite a few pages here, so I guess I was going to say as little as there is on Salubri, how much touches them?
Yeah, we'll get into why there's so much touching.
Oh, no.
Not only that, but there's not a lot directly about them, but they seem to get their fingers in just about every pie.
Right.
Yeah, by them I mean Saulot, because Saulot is God's favorite, apparently.
Huh.
It's a whole thing. So I do have an opening quote, if either of you gentlemen would like to read it.
I'll take this one.
Do it.
The idea that Saulot may have met the Buddha is a little difficult to countenance. Similar stories of him meeting Jesus Christ and the Prophet Muhammad have as much likelihood, but every Salubri of every religion is quite firm in the belief that Saulot met their particular holy man. Simon Ben Yaakov, Clan Book Salubri, 24.
Yeah, Clan Book Salubri's got this really cool character named Simon who is a Toreador who has been requested by Salubri friends of his to keep record in a library of all the different testimonials of Salubri who just end up at his haven.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, reading through that is just a lot of like, wow, okay, buddies, strap in. So, the clan founder for Salubri is a guy named Saulot. You may have heard of him.
Ah, once or twice, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Names come up.
He was embraced in either the first or second city. As with all antediluvians, their actual origin is vague and has several possible beginnings. It's a little annoying, but that's also how history works sometimes. So, what are you gonna do? Regardless of exactly how he was embraced, almost all accounts will talk about how Saulon did not enjoy being a vampire. It was very not cash money.
He didn't like it.
Not a big fan.
What a bummer.
I know. So, almost all historical accounts of Saulon talk about him trying to constantly oppose his own beast in certain ways. A lot of that was done through prayer and contemplation.
Hmm. So he'd just, like, sit and get hungry and pray and think for, like, mm-hmm. a long-ass time.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, just a lot of big sad boy energies. It kind of reads a lot like Louis from Interview with the Vampire to me sometimes, where he's just like, I'm so tormented.
Right.
I'm vexed by my state.
I'm just going to lay here for a century and think on it.
Hey, if you got the time. It's not necessarily a bad idea.
That's fair, I suppose.
That's fair. Though he was a little bit more active, though, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
And he put a lot of focus on the moral behavior between vampires and humans. And there's a lot of repeated text about cleanliness and nonviolence.
Interesting.
So it's a lot of like, hey, don't be attacking people in alleyways because that's weird and gross. Like, don't hunt people for sport.
Don't feed on the sick, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and a lot of like making sure that the humans that you are feeding from are well taken care of and are like cool with you doing it, which I found interesting because I think it kind of parallels a lot of cultural rules you have for like kosher and halal like food practices.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, that's an interesting little carry through. Many of the fellow vampires hold this as evidence that Saulon was a good boy because they're like, oh, look how much better he is than the rest of us because we're all heathens.
Eating people in alleyways.
Yeah, I'm just like cracking people open like fucking Twix on the reg. And this guy, man, like, he's on it. He's taking care of people. He's doing his thing. He's a swell guy.
Wrong.
We'll get into that. Saulon also is recorded to have having embraced a lot of childer compared to some of the other antediluvians.
Real weird for somebody who really hates being a vampire.
Yeah.
And wants to do right by people.
And he's just like constantly making
more.
Yeah.
People who probably don't like being a vampire.
Yeah. Though at least it is noted that these people that he did embrace are usually well educated and instructed on how to bring their childer up as well to be more moral.
Oh, that's cool.
Not only is he embracing a lot of people, he's also, like, encouraging them to also embrace a lot of people.
I guess he, like...
But, like, doing a way that's not asshat-ish.
Yeah. Like, if we get enough not asshat vampires, maybe we can outnumber the asshat vampires.
It's also a little ironic that it seems like they started out by embracing a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the end then.
And then things happen. History. It's very, it gets interesting. The Salubri as a whole tend to follow Saulon's decrees that they at least have record of or have oral traditions of as a kind of like faith and cultural system. So within vampire society, particularly within the clan itself, Saulon is kind of held up as like this saint, philosophical prophet, sage kind of a figure. Also almost messianic, if you will. That doesn't cause problems.
No.
Yeah.
Why would it do that?
Why? Saulon did spend a lot of time hanging out with the bros, Malkov and Set. Those were his two favorite homies in ancient times.
Malkov and Set.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had, we talked about this story a little bit during Malkov, right?
Yeah, when we did the Malkavians, we talked about the story of the three brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be Saulon, Malkov, and Set. And
now we're getting another perspective.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of in-lore notes on, like, Saulon's perspective on the story outside of just acknowledging that it's a thing.
Okay.
And in the story from the Malkavian's perspective, Malkov asking questions about like how the universe works is part of the reason why Saulon just fucks off.
Yeah.
And goes on his
He's like, oh, well, I can't
tour.
Answer that. I'm going to go find the answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Malkov's like, I believe in you. And instead of booping him on the snoot, booped him on the forehead.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, don't tell him, don't call your fucking shot. Like, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's like he knew.
Well, I mean, probably did. Probably did.
Maybe at that point.
Maybe so. Didn't realize he knew.
Yeah, it's very, if you want the full story, it's in the Malkavian episodes, but yeah.
It's a good story.
It's a good story, but yeah, there's just a lot of notes of like, yeah, those three were just hanging out all the time and talking about like philosophy and the meaning of life. And when you get into the analogs of like Salot trying to discover things on a spiritual way, but in a trying to be enlightened and a good person, and then Set kind of being like, I'm studying spirituality, but I'm kind of accepting the carnal nature of things. It's kind of like having the philosophical school where you're just like cool with like fucking and hanging and enjoying things.
Hedonism?
Yeah. So it's like hedonism versus kind of stoicism kind of thoughts. And then Malkov's just like, hi, just things are neat.
I just want to explore ideas.
Yeah. They seem chill to hang out with. Yeah. If I had to hang out with any elders, the three of them.
Yeah.
Probably the more chill. Yeah. That's not wrong.
Which is funny for Set.
Which is...
for the reputation that his clan carries.
There's...
things get worse for the three of them, though.
That's fair.
Things do get worse yeah. for them over time, and I have some... I'll get into it when we cover the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there might be some cultural baggage on that clan due to racism.
Oh, no.
We'll deal with that when we get there.
Yeah.
But the other kind of historical note for Salot in ancient times that I think is interesting, it is often written and spoken about even to this day that he was the most favored of the Antediluvians by Cain.
Yeah, so was the Toreador. Don't know what you're trying to say here.
Well, the notes on it that I thought were interesting is some people theorize that might have been because Salot was very similar to Abel.
Ah. Because
they were both like shepherds and like were kind of gentle and nice, supposedly nice people.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, oh no.
That's cute and sad and awful.
There's just the knife twist. He's just like, I like this one. He's just like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I can save this brother. And I'm like, no.
Womp womp.
Oh, that's so sad. That's the one tiny violin I'll give Cain.
He has a lot of tiny violins. I feel like he just doesn't learn from them.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, whenever the deluge, so the flood, or however that is counted in ancient times, whenever that happened... that's roughly about the same time Salot goes out to the east.
Okay.
When that actually is in the timeline, unfortunately, ends up being vague. Because sometimes the deluge is described happening during the first city. Sometimes it's during the second. Sometimes it's after the second. It's very... ancient historical record is bad.
I feel like sometimes... I feel like, and I could be wrong here, maybe it's just because we've covered a lot and my brain twists things around, but I feel like there are times where, like, the second city is referred to as the first city, yep. and the first city is referred to as the second city. Yes. No one knows what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, it's very, like, oh, God.
This one seems to be the first one, as I'm scanning through this, the first clan that doesn't have an alternative history of what happened in the first/second city. Almost every single one claims their founder was the reason it fell, or blames someone else,
yeah.
and they were involved. And this is the first one that seems to be like, they were just chill.
They're like, he was just being a guy, just doing his thing, and then dad fucks off to go get a pack of cigarettes for centuries.
Which makes me suspect him the most.
I know, we're getting to that.
Oh.
So, when Salot goes off east, from the best of my understandings and readings of the material, Salot traveled along routes that we would recognize today as the Silk Road.
Oh, he was buying Molly online?
I mean, honestly, though, that probably would have done him a world of good.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. When I first wrote this script, I knew the timeline for what we consider to be the Silk Road routes and stuff, but it has been some time between when I wrote this and now, and I have just completely erased that from my brain, so I apologize. Hack and fraud, everybody drink. So let's talk. I'm sorry. Drink your water. Hydrate, bitch.
Okay, so.
So before we get any farther, I have to briefly talk about the Kwai Jin. The thing we said we weren't going to do, I now literally have to do it for this to make any fucking sense.
We will do a series on them eventually. They'll probably end up getting their own month, but.
Yeah, it's just.
We could just beep out the whole section while we talk about it.
I suppose. Yeah, this is just going to be a brief, we're going to touch on things just so people have understandings and context. I would love to do a more deeper dive into Kindred of the East because I think the lore for it is really interesting, but I also understand there's a lot of things that are very...
not so great.
Not accurate to how things are understood in those cultures. is the best way to put that.
From my understanding, they took a lot of things from movies and not actual belief systems.
Yeah. So, and I don't think there's anything wrong with just like, hey, we're writing a AU fantasy game and we're pulling things from different cultures to like pull a thing. But I don't have the cultural knowledge or background to feel comfortable tackling just India or just Korea or just Japan, let alone that whole region. Because holy fuck, those are dense cultures with thousands of years of history and context that I don't have. So I'm not going to act like I have the audacity to speak upon that.
Those are going to be episodes where Hunter takes over the main episodes for a month while Sarah does too much research.
We are trying to reach out to people from those communities to get resources and hopefully communications. But anyways, so baby's first introduction to the Kwaijin. So Kwaijin is a term that roughly describes vampires that exist across the Asian continent. Kwaijin is a portmanteau word slamming together the Mandarin term for ghost, kwei, and the Japanese term for person, jin. So ghost even the person. Term Kwaijin is like... It's two different languages getting slammed together, which sometimes that happens in English a lot. We're just kind of slamming words together, but that doesn't mean other people are cool with that. And just so everyone knows, before the term Kwaijin in the lore, there was the term Wan Kwei, which translates to 10,000 demons.
Oh.
There's a reason for that. It's basically, we'll get to that in a moment. Another term that people might hear for these kinds of kindred is the Cathay, which is what Western vampires will refer to the Kwaijin as, and the Kwaijin find this to be very derogatory.
Huh.
Because Cathay is based off of the Western term for how we tried to pronounce what the ancient word for China was, and we're just bad at it.
Interesting.
So it's an in-lore like, hey, this is basically a slur, don't use it. So, yeah, but you'll see it written in things. So you know what it is.
All right.
Within the region of Asia, shockingly, it's a big continent with a lot of cultures.
What?
And sometimes those different cultures will have their own specific terms for what the vampires are.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
A couple of ones of note that I found in Japan, they might also be referred to as the Gaki. In India, it might be the Ajurti Zaya.
Yep.
I don't speak Sanskrit. I'm trying.
Sorry if we kill these.
I am trying my butchered. Best. In Mongolia, there's the Anda. And in Korea, you might get Pontianak?
Yep.
Which, the way those were described, it was interesting because it just sounded like even hornier Toreador.
Whoa.
Which I know is impressive.
So those are kind of like sub-clans of the Kwaijin?
Yeah, there's... The Kwaijin is just... It's basically the equivalent of saying vampires.
Okay, and then each region had its own clan almost is interesting.
Yeah, and it seems like even within the regions, there's like smaller...
Subsects
of things. So it's really cool. It's really dense lore. We don't have time for that right now.
Word.
But I'm just touching base and being like, hey guys, this does exist. If you want to look into it more, it is pretty cool. Right now, no. So basically, all of these entities are corrupted descendants of the Wanji, which is the 10,000 immortals, who were tasked to protect the world by a powerful god slash could be the same god as Abrahamic god.
Huh.
World of Darkness is weird in leaving it kind of open to be like, there are multiple gods, or it's all the same god, and different cultures just have the same name for this entity, or the way that we are trying to perceive God is kind of like how people think Cthulhu is an elder being, and it's like, not really, yes, but no. Because there's things like above that, and then there's things like even above that in our comprehensions of things. So depending on how eldritch you want to get with your World of Darkness lore. But I just think it's interesting that it's like, it could be the same guy. We don't know.
Right.
But some sort of entity was like, I've created these spiritual beings that are supposed to protect the planet, and then a bunch of them fucked up because instead of like free range existing off of the energy of chi, or chi is energy, but yeah, so instead of living off of the natural energy forces that are abundant, they realize, I can get superpowered by just eating blood and things. And then God was like, I don't like that.
Wait a second.
You're now cursed to forever live this karmatic cycle of death and rebirth that you can't escape from.
So they were kind of the opposite of vampires, and the vampires were cursed to eat, drink blood. Whereas they were cursed for drinking blood.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'm trying to keep this very bare bones just so we have an understanding. But yeah, it's blood and flesh consumption is still part of the lore, but it's not quite as like integral as it is with the Western vampires. And that's part of their cultural differences, because a lot of Kwaijin find Western vampires to be particularly barbaric because they do consume blood and flesh. And my favorite note is that they also find Western vampires to be unclean and kind of stupid because of their quote-unquote homicidal farmer stories.
Homicidal farmer stories.
And I'm just like, that's so... I had a good cackle at that. Just like, they're like, oh yeah, this thing was like, wait, is this Cain? What? He's just a dumb farmer. What the fuck? What? This is so stupid.
You came from that?
That's your origin. That's your story. I am a divine being from God, and I fight 10,000 demons in the 7,000 hells, and just my story's like way cooler. Like, the fuck are you doing?
Lasombra's over sitting in the corner like, wait a second.
Yeah. So, having this very bare-bones understanding of the Kwaijin just to make Zaolot shows up.
Oh, which, he changed his name on the way.
I don't know if it's so much he changed his name or if it's just that's how people with that their dialects would have tried to say Zaolot.
Or even how they recorded it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it might have been just they said it at the time correctly, but because of the way things were written down.
Fair.
When it got retranslated back, it's more of a Zao noise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. I'm just a little guy. This is what I found, here we are.
Fair.
So, according to the Western Kindred's understanding of Zaolot going to the East to attain enlightenment, which is its own bag of problems. We'll get to that at the bonus episode.
Yeah.
So when Zaolot reached a point of frustration with trying to be like, oh, why can't I be a good person and a vampire? So he went on a eat, pray, love adventure to the East, essentially. Also because, you know, Malkoff was like, hey, I got questions, brother, blah. And he's like, I got it. I'm here for you, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like that that's kind of how that whole group's dynamic was mm-hmm. like Malkoff had questions and the others were like, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's adorable, actually.
Yeah, Malkoff, secretly the chillest of the kindred. Yeah, so those, people, sorry, I misread my lines. So, with Zaolot traveling to the east, as far as the Western kindred are aware, he made it to India? Didn't say where in India. India's a big country. It's almost like it's a fucking continent on its own.
Yeah.
I would guess he moved around within there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not to jump the gun, but he was there a long time.
He was there for centuries, studying supposedly under various different gurus to attain some sort of spiritual enlightenment.
I mean, if you've got the time, it makes sense. Like, I'll spend a lifetime with this guru
mm-hmm.
and then just move on next and spend the rest of their lifetime and learn a little bit from everyone.
Well, what kind of gurus these are were also left extraordinarily vague, because the gurus could have been what we traditionally think of as gurus and teachers and whatnot in India, which are like mortals.
Yeah.
That are life coaches, spiritual advisors. Some of them are just yogis that combine spiritual practices in with like physical exercise, good for body and soul. Woohoo, kind of things.
Is.
But then there's also the mention of the Danava, which is a branch of the Kwaijin in India, which I looked into it, and there is a plot line where the Danava are actually the progenitors of the Ventru.
Interesting. We'll have to put a pin on that for later.
Yeah, so the Danava, when I looked into them, are a very regal and tend to be kind of leadership-y Kwaijin within India, because Indian Kwaijin do reflect the caste system that does exist in India, so these tend to be like way higher ups and often are gurus or royalty or leaders of some sort. So there's a chance that maybe the Ventru aren't actually descended of Cain. Whoops.
Huh.
Yeah, it'd be weird if a bunch of white guys got in power and then just try to erase their own history to maintain a narrative, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I just thought that was neat.
That dignitas is looking kind of strange now, isn't it?
Yeah. Kind of weird.
That pedigree isn't so solid.
It's like, oh no, we stole the number zero and the Ventru from India. Fuck. But Zaolot comes back, Daddy comes home, Daddy's got a third eye, a whole new vampire discipline, and the Path of Golconda.
Boop, 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 boop.
That's how Western vampires understand this. The Kuai Jin often will refer to him as Zaulot the Traitor, for not only did he study in India, he also traveled further east and interacted with this person known as the Grand Arhat Zhu. I hope I'm saying this correct. I apologize. But Zhu is a highly respected scholar who had discovered various Dharma paths of enlightenment that the Kuai Jin still use to this day. And he also penned down the Blood Sutras.
Oh.
So this is a big deal person.
Important guy.
Very important guy. Wrote foundational text for the entirety of all of the Kuai Jin.
Right.
And Zaulot showed up and became one of Zhu's most prolific students. Only to cut and run and then head back to the West.
Hmm.
And apparently...
It's like, not what I needed. Peace.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah. In the canon and historical records, Valerian, which is the Salubri's specific discipline.
Is that that's the healing and the...
And the power boost one? Yeah. Yeah. Does not appear in the historical record until Zaulot comes back from the East.
Oh.
So this is a discipline that is suggested to have a non-Kane origin.
Okay.
Which is very, like, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's kind of backing the what the Kuai Jin say about Zaulot just coming over, stealing, like, forbidden knowledge.
Yeah.
Or sacred knowledge and then just fucking off.
Mm-hmm.
It's also an interesting implication that if given the opportunity that a traditional Western vampire could learn the Kuai Jin's abilities, which as far as I know has never,
really
rules
happen.
Wise, been possible, and has never, I've never even really seen like any other character do that, but
right, which has a lot of scary implications on just that alone. You're just like, oh, what did he do?
Yeah.
What
did he do? Or are these secrets just that deeply protected? Mm-hmm. Or
who knows? Like, that alone could be a cool chronicle of just like archaeological, anthropological vampires. They're like, we're gonna go study this, and I'm like, oh, you're gonna die, but good luck,
Indiana Jones.
You're gonna learn
game.
Some cool stuff right before you die.
Yeah, it's very Laura Croft.
Yeah.
But it is noted on the Kuai Jin site that Zaulot left a whole bunch of chaos and mess and problems behind across what is referred to as the Middle Kingdom. So just all across Asia, just left a whole bunch of problems. And everybody over there is like, good, we're glad he's gone. Fuck him. Get out of here.
Is there any chance that he, like, brought harm to this, the Grand Arhat guy? And that's why he zipped off? Like, maybe he got Valerian through some not-so-friendly means?
I'm going to leave that up to
okay.
Interpretation.
Right. Okay.
Because I had seen some stuff that heavily implied these things, but I didn't see anything that was flat out like, he did, yes, this did happen.
Okay.
But part of the problems and mess that Zaulot left behind was leaving the Wu Zhao bloodline that he made and propagated. He just, when he goes back west, he just fucks off.
He seems to have a history of doing that.
Yeah. He's very much the, just, I'm going to go get a gallon of milk kind of dad.
You know, he and Gangrel would probably get along.
Oh, yeah.
And then he comes back when you're like 40. He's like, oh, by the way.
Like, hey, I'm working going? On stuff, bud. Right. You want to help me?
And it's doesn't like, mention the family he has wherever he was at.
Zaulot just has a lot of second and third family. It's very the stepfather energy. If anyone's seen that movie with Terry O'Quinn.
Hell yes.
Oh, God.
Well, at least as far as I know, he's less killing them and more just ignoring them and leaving.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get into that.
Oh.
Oh.
So, there's also the next step of Zaulot's magical mystery adventures, which is he might have created the Bali.
Whoa, I almost said woo.
You're like, I almost said woo.
That's more that. Of a why.
Yeah, like why did he do that?
So, we're going to briefly talk about the Bali for a second, guys.
Ugh.
I know. It's okay. Well, we may do an episode on them fully at some point, but from what I've seen, the Fifth Ed team have chosen to avoid including them directly yet so far.
Probably a good move.
There has been announcements about the Gehenna Wars book that's supposed to be for pre-order now and available in August of 2024. Fingers crossed. There might be more notes in there. I don't know, but this is the information I got as of now. So, the Bali, as far as the Western vampires are concerned, these are... The Bali are Western vampires, much like other Western vampires, except they are super steeped in demons, which we talk about a bit in our Abyss episode. So if you want to pop on over there and get more of the details, but demons are literally fallen angels that got, like, chucked into a space of literal entropy.
Yeah.
For punishment, so.
Yeah!
Yeah!
And these dudes are hanging out with them, talking to them, doing them favors.
And taking them into their body.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Bali have these deep ties with the demons, and they are either doomers that wish to bring about Gehenna and, like, end the world and the cycle and everything,
mm-hmm.
or they're extremists that believe that they are preventing the end of the world and that no price is too high by sacrificing things to the demons. They're like, if we just keep them fed and quiet, the world won't end.
Right.
But we're doing a bunch of fucked up shit, but it's for your good. And I'm like, is it though? Are you sure?
We're going to sacrifice this entire town so that this demon doesn't wake up and eat the country.
Yeah, so it's either that or they're literally the most black-pilled things that have ever existed, and you're just like, oh no.
Right.
Gross. The Clan Bali book is one of the handful of books I will put a content warning. This is a lot. You can read it if you want. I don't recommend it.
There's a reason that was put out under Black Dog
and
not the regular game line.
Yeah, and the Bali are either a bloodline of some other clan, a cult that can pull other clans in, or some sort of both. It's very convoluted. You're a storyteller, and you can talk about how that actually works for your table. The canon has kind of left that very open to interpretation.
After we finish the regular clans, I think it would be fun to do some of the weird ones that aren't in V5 to talk about, and they might make it on that list. But I like the idea that they could be any vampire. That's just been, like, once they're taken over by a demon, it's like, oh, sorry, you're this now.
You can go through an indoctrination process, which the old system has rules for, so if you want to do that, you can.
Also known as possession in my brain.
There's also there's rituals you can go through to officially, like, convert to being a Bali, as well as being embraced as a Bali.
Oh.
It's, like I said, it's very convoluted. Hi guys, it's World of Darkness. You can fix it in post.
Yeah.
but the origins of this clan are also shockingly very convoluted. So they're either a proper clan that was embraced in the times of the Second City, a collection of corrupted rejects from the Second City that just kind of pooled their resources together and decided demons were cool. They're a jealousy creation made out of spite against Arakel, who is the Toreador Primogen, or Antediluvian.
Oh.
Because somebody was like, I'm really into this person. She rejected me.
Time to make 10,000 demons.
Yeah, basically. the Bali either existed as corruptions before vampires were even a thing, and then was embraced.
Oh.
So they might have been just these possessed demon, weird, clicky, whatever the fuck things, and then a vampire went, you know what I should do?
I should bite that.
So essentially, a human possessed by a demon gets turned into a vampire and becomes a Bali, is potentially...
Potentially, these entities are described in a, like, it could be a human that's embraced, it could just be...
A humanoid demon thing.
Just something left over from pre-times in the Bible.
Just a shambling thing.
Yeah. And then some vampire was just like, I'm gonna fuck it.
Yeah.
It's like, look, man, I'm not against monster fuckers, but sometimes you really gotta think about it.
But what are the consequences of this monster fuck?
There's also a chance that the Bali were formed by a Cappadocian, so the Hakata.
Really?
There's a story.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, fucking with the Abyss and all that.
Yeah, so there's stories for that with the character of Ashur. There's also, Ashur is supposedly, potentially also a Zamiti. So the Bali might have a Zamiti origin.
Hell yeah.
But the version that I have seen the most text for is Saulot created the Bali, including Clan Book Salubri.
Saulot be creating way too much shit.
Yeah, he needs to calm down.
He is just this guy has the vampire equivalent of potent dad nut is the best way to explain it.
Malkov had a lot of questions, okay, and he's just getting answers for his brother.
So yeah,
is that the excuse? He's like, yeah, I'm just getting answers. Hold on.
Have to fuck this weird monster thing back there.
Malkov wanted to know what happened, so I did it.
So,
oh boy.
There is a tablet in the Dark Ages that a Salubri writes down about, and this tablet was written by a different Salubri, but it's testimonial from a Bali.
Okay.
Is what is on this tablet. And it's according to this Bali's account, their clan started because they were survivors from a ancient village that worshipped demons.
Mm-hmm.
And their neighbors were like, nah, fam, we don't like that. So they destroyed the village, and whoever was left at the end, they just chucked into a well.
Oh.
Because that's what you did.
Yeah.
Back in the day when you wanted to get rid of problems.
Just put it in a well.
Just put it in a hole.
Put it in a hole. Put dirt on top.
Yeah.
Did they put dirt on top?
No, they did not. That's the problem. Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
And it is described for those people in the well that a Cainite came from where the sky had begun to lighten in anticipation of the dawn.
Oh, no.
So east. That is a long way to say east.
Yeah.
I appreciate ye olde speech because it's very poetic and it's a delight sometimes. But now and again, I'm just like, come on, man. He came from over there. it's over there. It's fine. But yeah, this Cainite who came from where the sun comes, poured his vitae into the well to feed those within it and to heal them, but also to see which ones were powerful enough to climb the fuck out of the well.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's kind of shovel-heady.
Yeah. In this account, it talks of a mysterious stranger coming upon the tribe of demon worshippers in his travels west. So coming from the east back to the west.
Mm-hmm.
It calls by his name. It calls him Saulot.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Whoops. So there's a chance. The Saulot went out east, studied under the Kuai Jin, and part of the Kuai Jin's duties involves fighting demons and things as part of their chromatic cycle struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So he learned some of those secrets, started to come back to the west, and just happened to find this hole full of people. And was like, I'm going to do an experiment real quick before I get home. And then it didn't go well, but instead of killing it, he just fucked off.
I also like that it said he did it to see which became powerful enough to climb out.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say anything about what happened after that.
Yeah.
Just something climbed out, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that part was left very vague. What was interesting in that account is the Salubri who is writing about this tablet and being horrified at the implications of it notes down that he is destroying the tablet because he is concerned that the implications of the tablet are horrific, but he's also like, I don't know if this tablet is just propaganda, and I don't want to besearch Lord Saulot's name like that, destroying the tablet. And I'm like, okay, is Saulot playing 4D chess, and he's just got this whole chunk of clan that are just people that are going to clean up and cover for him because they just think he's the goodest boy, while he's doing this just the most asinine fucked shit.
It does say that he
specifically
went out of his way to educate and train all of his children and taught them how to do the same. And they all seem to be really about him and defending him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like he built a whole bloodline / generational family of people to defend his dumbass.
Yeah.
Yep.
But there is constantly a lot of lore talking about all of the good things that Saulot is doing and teaching, so I'm not trying to overstep what's in the canon, but there's also canonical big hints of there's some fuck shit going on.
This is also a vampire, and he is a mega elder, and we know how elders start to act, so at some point, he's just gonna do what vampires do.
Do you think that part of the reason that these homeboys went so hard in, like, fighting demons is because Saulot was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that with the Bali Wars.
Oh, shit, okay.
Good segue.
Yeah.
So
Saulot's like, oh, shit, I've done a thing. I gotta fix this.
Yeah, so the Bali Wars is a several centuries off and on again struggle between the Bali and the rest of vampires. Most of the vampires that actively confront the Bali are the Salubri and the Bani Hakim. Those are the two big clans that do that.
That'd be a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
The Salubri and Bani Hakim coterie.
Teaming up.
Just after some Bali.
Cool. So, cycling back to those who remember the warrior cast from the first episode with Samiel. Samiel is a direct childer of Saulot. And he was very like, no, we gotta defend the righteous and I gotta fight things. This healer thing is pussy shit. I don't know why. It's been fun for me to read Samiel in Peacemaker's voice in my head, but he's not evil. He's just kind of, he's just full of go.
Yeah.
Because that's just kind of how it reads to me.
Okay.
Where I was just like, I will fight for peace for all of my heart, and I'll kill as many men, women, and children as it takes for me to get there. kind of the energy I get from the Warriors sometimes.
Love it.
I'm not a big fan of John Cena, but him doing Peacemaker is so fucking good.
Yeah. I haven't seen it yet, so it's I need to. It's super good.
But these cycles of violence, at least on the trying to fight the demon side, this is why Samuel establishes the warrior clan or warrior bloodline within the clan. Then they are kind of the spearhead against fighting the Bali. And they did this for so long that Samuel almost becomes like a baby antediluvian in his own right, because there's just so many warriors for so long doing their own thing. And that's why there's kind of this like split in the disciplines within the clan, which is lore-wise fascinating to be like, ah, so you have like the clan founders. If any of the other clan founders had child or that were as active and doing things as often, would they start being able to do their own?
Different things?
Yeah. The implications of that, I think, is very neat.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of all these disciplines being kind of the off branches of just one core discipline, where it's just like, I've honed this aspect of this discipline a whole bunch, and it's just, does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. And I think it's really interesting. Yeah, because the Valerian, there's a portion of it that's supposed to be like warrior specific, and only those who have gone through the ritual to be a warrior have access to it. So it's just like, again, lore implications.
Very cool.
Really fucking cool. And these battles raged from the times of the first and second city, so ancient.
Long time ago.
Up until 636 Common Era.
Oh.
We have an actual date. It's neat.
All right.
So, supposedly this was the final defeat of the Bali in their fortress in the city of Chorazin.
That's an interesting name.
It is.
It's really close to Chorazin, which is that demon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Chorazin?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce that?
This is a city that is located in the Levant in southern Lebanon.
Hmm.
So this was like a big demon fortress that there was the final stand and defeated them, unfortunately.
It was like the Helm's Deep, but bad guys on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's reverse Helm's Deep.
Awesome.
Which is kind of, again, metal as fuck.
Yeah.
This is also where we lose Samuel in the timeline. And these battles also caused a lot of damage for the Salubri, because a lot of people get lost during the battles.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just a clan of constantly just being fucking chewed up by just the reality they exist in, unfortunately.
Right. I mean, I guess it's what happens when you're like, this is an entire like cast of people that goes and fights demons.
Mm-hmm.
Demons are going to chew them up.
Yeah.
No matter how tough they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a good chunk of implication that, yeah, Salah made the Bali and then was just like, all right, my children.
We got to fix it.
There's these demons. I don't know where they came from. But they're a problem. And if you were going to be good noodles and do this Golconda thing, you got to go fight the demons. And they're all like, cool, Dad, I can do that. Sure.
He's got it.
So my question here is he specifically trying to get his original childer to clean up the mess he made with the Bali?
Mm-hmm.
Or, as we talked about, if he's really playing some sort of 4D chess, is he intentionally just trying to get them to wipe each other out? Because he has these generations of people documenting and worshiping him. He's been up to a lot of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people have been documenting and paying attention to what he did. Is he just trying to wipe the slate by clearing out all of his kids in one foul war? Or is he just trying to clean up the mess he made with the demon with the babies? Or
did he, like,
does he even give that much of a shit?
Does he and is keeping them busy? Or is it... Because I kind of read that there seems to be a lot of implication that what Salad's doing is trying to find a way to overcome the vampiric condition.
Right.
And he might just be trying whatever the fuck he can find and just seeing what goddamn sticks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'll just try these demons. Let's see what happens. Oh, that didn't go well.
Hey, kids.
Hey, you guys are doing pretty all right. Fucking go.
And also, I think mirrors a lot of religion. Like, even a lot of religious war is like, we have to overcome this sort of enemy, whatever they are that think different.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's given them something to overcome, right as this warrior cast is coming around. Weird.
Yeah, because it's weird that, yeah, maybe one of his childer who's known to be a little rebellious and is trying to, like, speak out against what Salat's doing. He's like, okay, I got a job for you now to keep you busy.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. Oh, he died. Oh, no.
Hmm.
There's a lot of shit he could be up to right here.
Right? Who knows? It could be, we might be painting it badly. It might be just be him, like, earnestly trying and just going, oh, fuck. Oh, no. Shit.
Well, if that was the case, then, and he was the one that was, you know, at fault here, wouldn't he have said something about that?
You'd think.
If he's, like, trying to be a good guy,
yeah,
and, like,
you're not wrong. There's also a lot of, it is very human to do a fuck up and not want to publicly admit to it, too. So yeah. There's that side. I have my fan theories. Yeah. And unfortunately, a lot of the research for this has confirmed a lot of my fan theories.
Mm.
But I've also tried to leave the narrative open for people that want to explore other options.
Right.
As I respect that. That's a choice you can make.
Well, and we're just talking about what's written in the books.
Yeah.
It says in the books, you can ignore this.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
Change it up all you want.
But yeah, after roughly the end of the Bali Wars is when there's also these periods of time where Sawlot, whether it's he's just getting old as balls, or if it's he's exploring deeper forms of meditation to try and introspect and figure out a way to overcome the vampiric condition.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But he keeps falling into these long periods of torpor, so the Salubri are like, okay, we're going to put Dad on the couch and just let him sleep it off, I guess.
Dad's had one too many beers. He's got to go to sleep for the next, I don't know, 800 years.
Which, because of these long torpor sessions, that leaves him weirdly as an antediluvian that is particularly vulnerable for somebody to come up and do something to him.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you say?
Something. Strange.
What could that possibly that be that?
And there's some implications that Sawlot may have been setting up the Tremere to do what they did.
Oh.
Because, I mean, think about it. This guy has been around for thousands of years. He has all sorts of power. Has fought literal demons and figurative demons. He's been in charge of running wars and strategy and tactics and shit for centuries. I think it would be weird that a bunch of baby bats, essentially.
Yeah.
Baby mages.
Yeah, they're not even bats yet. They're just...
No, they're bats at this point.
Okay, they are already.
Yeah, they were mages. They went through Tremere. We did do a Tremere episode. You can go check that out. But the TLDR is, they were mages. They realized, oh, my magic's fucking up. I don't want to lose my magic. That's weird. So they go to the Carpathian Mountains. They go, hey, you know what might make us have magic and live forever if we fuck with these vampires? And then they did a ritual and one guy cuts his dick off. It's a whole thing.
Yep.
So they...
That old school magic's wild.
Yeah, so they kind of oops themselves into being vampires and cutting themselves from their mage avatars. And they're like, well, fuck. We gotta power up our vampire selves. Otherwise, the other vampires are not going to respect us and we're all going to fucking die.
We still don't.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you know. So, yeah. But it seems weird that those guys were able to just walk into Sawlot's lair with, like, no resistance, no guards.
Yeah.
And Sawlot didn't resist at all when Tremere was diablerizing him or attempting to.
Mm-hmm.
I think the note you have right after that is the scariest part,
mm-hmm.
which is he was smiling as it happened.
Yep. When you read it, you go,
huh.
Sawlot was into this? Is this another experiment?
I mean... I guess Tremere would be like the closest thing to a human that he could get a hold of while still being a vampire, since he's not like a real vampire.
These are vampires that have access to a new form of magic that no other vampire has,
yeah.
And maybe this could be the key to figure out what the fuck he's doing.
Yeah.
Is this an attempt at a do-over? Because he fucked up too much with his original plans.
And his thought was, I can just take over.
Mm-hmm.
So now are the Tremere basically enslaved to Sawlot?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least he's the one running the show. Does he think that Diablery will release his soul and then he'll have some sort of enlightenment? I don't know. There's a lot of ideas that he could be messing with here.
Yeah, and particularly with his traveling to the East and studying their understandings of magic in the world, because these are cultures that have deeper understandings of animism and different forms of like spirituality than we do here in the West. I'm like, is he trying to overlap that and meld that with what we know over here? Because
mm-hmm.
vampires in the West, we tend to be very physical. It's very tangible. It's what things
blood
you
is
can
a physical
smack.
Thing.
Yeah, things you can't smack. There is, yeah, and then the act of diablerie is a spiritual act, but it is not purely a spiritual act because there is the you have to drain somebody down to
nothing
and then keep going.
Yeah.
So it's very tactile on this side of the planet. And then the way that systems run on the eastern side of the planet tend to be more spiritual and eschew away from the physical body. So I don't know.
Could literally be him trying to escape his physical form.
Yeah.
In a way that he thinks he'll still exist.
Mm-hmm.
So by becoming essentially like a beast, a soul in another vampire, he's escaped his own shell.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude. he's Robert Downey Jr.ing his way to loophole is way past God, essentially. He's like, no, I will figure this out. I'm gonna no-clip my way to salvation. Fuck you. Maybe that's what's going on.
That'd be funny.
Decide what you want to do with those implications at your table. I'm just laying options down. It's also very holy shit. What does this mean for the meta plot? Because fuck. But with the Diablerie of Sallacht, Clan Tremere immediately began to exterminate the Salubri.
Whoops.
Which also kind of leads me to the thought of like, well, Sallacht, if he did make the Bali and decided that was a problem, and he got his childer and their offspring to remove the Bali, if he had decided that the Salubri have served their purpose and he's on to another project, because I'm also starting to think that Sallacht might just have mega ADHD.
There's a little bit of that. It also seems like he's very keen, and we're getting closer and closer to the part where most people know about them, where he was seemingly very successful at wiping the board of all of his own people who were documenting him.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know why he's just like Etch-a-Sketch, like erasing everything constantly. Yeah. I'm like, buddy, what the fuck?
He did, to defend him a little bit, Malkov was like, I have a lot of questions, you should go figure these things out. And he just said, okay.
All right, bet.
And I'm going to do that no matter what it takes.
It's like sunk cost fallacy. He's like, well, I've been doing this for so long, I might as well just keep going.
Also, I'm just trying to tick the box that Malkov was the one who suggested, you should go figure out these things for me. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And then created multiple wars, multiple vampiric genocides, multiple types of vampires and bloodlines. It's kind of like he just went, go, and pushed him over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least pushed him in the right direction for it.
Just Malkov's like, I see this man over here just raw dogging reality with ADHD and no medication. What if, and hear me out, this will be really funny, I give him something to hyperfixate on?
For eons.
And then Malkov's like, you know what, I wasn't expecting him to go that hard. You know, I can't, he just, he
can't stop him now.
He comes back during the Dark Ages and does this whole thing with the Tremere, and Malkov's like, that was not what I was, well... To be honest, this was pretty funny.
That's the one thing I am bummed about this clan and the Bali, is because they only got the Dark Ages books. Mm-hmm. We never got the section in every other clan book where it talks about how other clans think about them, or how they think about other clans, and vice versa. They're not mentioned in a lot of the other clan books.
Yeah, there is some stuff in the 20th anniversary, like, mega collection
book.
But a lot of the things that were listed in that book were kind of just repeats of stuff from the other book. So I didn't really see the point of like
going through the whole thing.
Yeah. Especially when I had to be like, baby's first introduction to the Kuai-jin in the middle of all this shit. I was like, I got to edit this down. So
I just imagine somewhere that I could see a note from like a Malkavian who's just like, Salubri. Oh, yeah. The ones who got closest to figuring it out.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, that's, there's some notes in there for that. And that we did note in the Malkavian episode that the Malkavian were one of the only Western vampire clans that were kind of cool with the Tremere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those like, wait a second, hold on.
What's going on here?
Hold on a second.
What do you know that we don't?
We talked about that in the Tremere episode too, where it's like, maybe they did set it up. Maybe the brother was like, hey, I'm doing a thing, watch this. And they're like, all right. And we're just chill with it from the beginning because they knew it was intentional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, just the implications are fucking wild. Fascinating. It's wild. Handle this how you want at your table, but Jesus fucking Christ. So, it's hard to say. Yeah, because this could have been, as we keep suggesting, Sallacht is just trying to wipe the slate clean and do another run of whatever his experiments and attempts at trying to reach salvation are. Who the fuck knows? The Tremere's attempt to completely genocide the Salubri. I don't have a better word for it, which unfortunately, due to our current political climate, is a lot of a sentence to be saying, but that's the word. Was it just purely a Tremere, like, political move of, like, okay, we just got our seat at the table, we gotta, like, X...
somebody else.
Somebody, out. Yeah. We have to scapegoat somebody.
And we just got rid of their antediluvian, so we might as well just take the claim.
Yeah, so it's like a, it's just business. Which is gross and weird, but like...
It also kind of makes sense, though. I mean, for what the Tremere are and what they do, I think their biggest competition would have been either the Salubri or the Ministry, as far as like, enlightenment and magic. Yeah. And
well, for magic, roles. It would have been the Bana Hakim. The Bana. They've been doing sorcery since ancient times.
Well, that's they fair. Did something about that, too.
They did, funnily enough. Funnily enough.
Huh.
But so it does suggest that they're kind of striking out at the people who specifically they would have been competing with.
Yeah, and with the historical notes of like the Salubri being the clan that is often on the front lines of conflicts and all that kind of stuff, they probably just would have had less bodies to eliminate too. So if you're going pure Machiavelli and 4D chest, based on pure numbers, yeah, the Salubri might have just been the logical, the
easiest.
Yeah, it's like they have less people, so.
Yeah.
Everyone else had something that would have prevented it. Adventure, just the sheer power.
Yeah.
Gangrel are like decentralized and everywhere. The Bruja are just tanks. Malkavians are probably the hardest to even track down to do anything about. Like,
yeah. Well, the other clans in Dark Ages at least had some function of state power that they had gotten into, even if the Bruja, which they didn't ever really like settle in a country like many of the other clans would have. They were still highly respected knights and would have been involved in the political structures regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And since the Salubri are just kind of like these wandering, traveling, sagey healer people, like, yeah, that...
Or most they were like religious monks or scholars, which are important historically, but not the same kind of political power that, say...
Yeah.
Because they weren't like running the church, at least from my reading of the Salubri book. A lot of them weren't...
They weren't running the church, TM. They might have been, like, in a chapel.
Yeah. They were, like, the monk who's like, I'm just copying holy texts my entire existence.
I'm making cheese.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the fuck they do.
Fancy cheese and from monks.
The other implication that I have been scared of is, did Tremere, while doing the Diablerie and consuming Saulot's soul, or attempting to, realize what the fuck Saulot is and what he's doing and go, oh, fuck. Oh, no. I gotta put a button on this.
Yeah, that's a good time to go back and listen to our Diablerie episode, and we talk about what happens when someone a lot more powerful gets eaten by someone a lot younger and some of the things that might happen.
Yeah, so just being able to glimpse at and internalize the soul of another being, you might have just gone, Tremere might be the only vampire who has any idea what Saulot is doing, is planning, and is just going, fuck, 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 and is just trying to, like, put a lid on it. Which is very Faustian, just being like, oh, I've made this deal. Fuck, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm trying to put this Pandora box back, just trying to shove the spring snakes back into the pecan can.
Yeah.
And he's just like, all right, just fucking, I'm gonna fight this guy in my own body, in my mind palace. You guys, kill all
every
of
single
them.
One of them.
They're a problem I do not have time to explain. I am going to power nap for 800 years. Which does lead us to, is Saulot still alive? And the thing is, like, I know a lot of people talk shit about the Tremere, and that's fine, but honestly, I am going to give Daddy Tremere his flowers. The fact that he mind palace mentally fought an actual genuine antediluvian clan founder for 865 years.
That's pretty wild.
That's insane. That's cuckoo bananas. Like, that, holy fuck.
Yeah.
That is...
Because that's usually, like, immediate.
Yeah.
You're just like, I just sipped you. Oh, fuck, I'm not me anymore.
It's like immediate, or they're like, maybe over the course of years.
Yeah.
Just the slow summation of one soul or personality over the other. But no, right. This was just duking it out. This is literally like the end of the Hellsing manga. It's very, as I say, the end of the Hellsing manga, where Alucard ate Schrodinger's cat boy, girl, whatever the hell that is. And then has to refight all of the souls of everyone he has consumed over the decades, centuries.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that energy.
All right.
So, according to the lore, Tremere lost the fight with Saulot over his own body. So
that's confirmed, actually.
Confirmed-ish. Confirmed-ish.
Do as you will with your table kind of situation.
Yeah, there's I reread through a big chunk of Beckett's Jihad Diary. We circle back. Back
always
to this,
comes back.
This is a thick,
always
girthy
comes back
boy.
To the lad.
This book is caked up with so many interesting lore story things. It's great, but also fuck.
Yeah.
So per the Beckett's Jihad Diary, Tremere soul consciousness is sharing the body with Goratrix, or has taken over the body over Goratrix and put Goratrix in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And Goratrix is in the Shadow Realm.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're sharing the body and they're having, like, the most codependent Gross. Relationship ever. Who knows? And is also, Tremere Goratrix, is also sponsoring House Karna for reasons?
Okay.
Which I find interesting. With the implications about Tremere Goratrix, so therefore House Tremere / House Goratrix, supporting and or kickstarting and all that stuff with House Karna. You're just like, what other 4D chess bullshit is happening with this?
Yeah.
You can get some interesting symbolization about how certain white women in radical spaces are actually not actually helping the movement and instead are just still profiting off of the systems that support them while also trying to combat their own oppressions within those systems. You also don't have to get that deep with the symbology. I just saw that and was like, ah!
Interesting.
Ah, this makes me think of some of those difficult women that are like, I'm an ally, but like they just can't understand like trans people at all. And I'm like, or, you know, they say things like, I made this fruit water. And I'm like, that's called agua fresca. It's been a thing for a hot minute. Like,
I've invented fruit water. Or the water talk. TikTokers general are just scary people. And
yeah. Or last year there was that really, really funny meme for a while where this one white lady was like, I invented flat tacos. And she just kept getting duetted by all these Hispanic people. So they're all like, tostada? Like, what?
Tostada.
At least she didn't go full crazy white person called a taco pizza or something.
Yeah. It's just like...
It's like also, yeah... Also, as far as, like, that kind of food, Taco Bell's just had that. It's called the taco pizza or whatever they call it.
They had taco pizza for ages.
And that was also, basically just tostada.
Yeah, it's just like, I made a flat taco. And I'm like, so Crunchwrap Supreme? Like, what? Those were simpler times. Oh, I remember those days. It was good. But, continuing back with the Becca's Jihad Diary and the implications of what Saulad is doing. There is some interesting testimonials from a Wu Zhao that Beckett is having a conversation with, whose name is Sang Quan. Do either of you want to read the quote?
Zhao Lot has been planning this move, or his move, for centuries. He has what no other antediluvian has, or does. Access to the power of three great avatars. He can consume all, or turn all against his enemies. Zhao Lot is ready for rebirth. When born, he can drench our world in blood, turn clan on clan, and awaken the one they call Cain.
Oh.
Whoopsie poodle. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
So dad's favorite's trying to bring dad back, potentially.
God's favorite's is like, what if I wake dad up and we're all like, do not.
Please don't.
No. He's happier when he's asleep.
They're non-canon. But it might be fun to do a series eventually where we take that book that ended the original World of Darkness line, where it's all the different like apocalypses that could happen for vampires, and do like three at a time and be like, here's what happened if... Because I would not be surprised if one of them was.
Okay, well, slight spoilers for the Knights of Prophecy, Gehenna books, and scenarios for Old Run of World of Darkness. There are several endings that involve Saulot. Half of them are very Saulot's messianic and comes back, cool guy, saves the world, fixes everything. And there's one where he does save the world, but he's also just like, what have we done? Am I the bad guy? Are we the baddies? And there's ones where, like, he fails because other people acknowledge, like, you know, the ends don't justify the means, kind of a thing. There was a lot there. I opted to not cover that in the script because it was already thick as fuck.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And those are, they left a lot of implications on whether Saulot was good or bad, or is doing good or is doing bad, or is an anti-hero, however you want to handle that. I find him being a messianic figure to be very not narratively satisfying, so it's not something I'm interested in exploring. If y'all want to, that's cool. But with Beckett's Jihad Diary being the book that transitions us from Old War into what is going on with Fifth Ed, I was trying to kind of keep us in that scope of things.
That's fair. I was just saying I think it would be interesting because I know he's a big figure in that, to come back to that later. Because I know there's like one where Zamitz wakes up, there's some terrifying ones in there.
Oh yeah, it is. It reading some of those end scenarios, it was so close to hitting the nail on the head with the Gandalf the White thing where, you know, Gandalf sacrifices himself, spoilers for Lord of the Rings, and then comes back as more powerful.
Yeah.
And he has like wardrobe change and it's all cool.
Mm-hmm.
For Similar. Me, that narratively works because Gandalf, well, as powerful as he is, can't do the thing on his own and has other people and forces and things are like other shit's happening. He's just really cool.
Yeah.
Some of the way that reads for me with Sauron on those other endings, it was just like, well, if it wasn't for this mega powerful god's favorite character, we'd all be fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not narratively fun for me, and I don't want to present that to players, because then it's like, hey, so all those like cool things you built up with your characters and your narratives and everything like that...
Doesn't matter.
Would not have mattered.
Yeah.
The only way I could see that making that work is if almost you made the party... take the place of the Fellowship of the Ring,
mm-hmm.
where they are having to do either one massive task or a lot of little things to set Salot up for success.
Mm-hmm.
Or even deeper, you make them all, we talked about doing the Oops All Salubri, where it's like they are like the seven or whatever's left. You're playing them and you have to set things up for Salot to come back and save things. So him coming back in general is your party completing the win scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And even cool. though if he takes it from there, you're getting your part, that your party is the one who enables all of that to happen.
Yeah.
Because yeah, unfortunately,
a lot of those old adventures do kind of feel like you're standing in a room with other powerful people doing things, and then they let you leave.
Yeah. So. Which is terrifying in its own right, but sometimes not. At a table, especially, not narratively satisfying.
Yeah.
But to slightly segue back into the V5 thing, so there's a whole plot line with Zangquan and the Master of Ravens and all this. It's cuckoo bananas. It's really kind of fucking cool. And just poor Beckett getting his shit rocked.
He'd just be doing that.
That, you know, it's...
He's got a lot of fortitude.
Yeah, he's fine. it's... Imagining this in this day and age is extraordinarily funny for me now because I've seen Matt Mercer play Beckett.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for me to not picture Beckett as Matt Mercer. So watching in my mind palace Matt Mercer getting his shit rocked.
Yeah. Good stuff.
It's unfortunately funny because I feel like Matt would enjoy doing the action sequence of that and actually filming it. He would have a good time. But I'm just like, oh buddy, no. But with Salot, oh my god. Coming back, what he does is he makes his way to Castle Hundorara in the Carpathian Mountains, and it is protected by an actual demon, and Salot just pretends to be a servant in this castle, and he's got members of the Inkanu in there trapped that he's trying to get to go with his plans of, like, whatever the fuck he's doing. Yeah, it's wild. He's just chilling in a castle.
Huh.
Just pretending to be a little guy.
So he's,
which is my favorite part.
I like that he's
like,
one of...
I'm retiring.
Well, no. He's still doing his things, but if people come to the castle to, like, investigate, he just, like, puts on a little bellhop outfit, and he's just like, hi, I'm Sergei. And it cycles back to the old Nosferatu movie, where Nosferatu is pretending to be all of his own servants. Which is
this.
Super funny. So that's where Beckett's left us with him.
Interesting. I mean, kind of.
I like that it basically confirms that he's one of the only ones we know for a fact is up and walking around, but he's just chilling. Like, all the others, like, we think are probably up and are probably fucking around doing, like, terrifying things in the parts of the canon where they don't suggest you go. But he's just hanging out in a castle and you could probably go visit him and you would meet him indirectly as the guy who brought your bags in or something.
Yeah. It's very accidentally meeting Kane in a video game we're not going to talk about right mm-hmm. now, which is also very funny.
Yeah.
But that one's more of a, like, he just reads like a divorced dad that just, like, has this side gig because he likes talking to people and he just wants to vibe,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to whatever shenanigans Salon is doing, which for me is, like, potentially more terrifying than what anyone else is doing, which also juxtaposes the, with the Tremere pyramid being shattered and all the different houses and the political maneuvers for that. Is Tremere in Goratrix trying to be like, fuck, he's up. Fuck, I gotta bat down the hatches. I gotta get my, like, troops in order. We gotta prep for whatever the fuck this is.
Yeah.
is Tremere accidentally the most rational of the antediluvians?
No.
Is Tremere accidentally the Duncan Idaho of Vampire the Masquerade? Which I know a lot of people are very mad at me for suggesting that right now, but I'm like, no, hear me out.
I hear you out. I think it's wrong.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I can be wrong. I just think it'd be funny to have the character that everybody's been villainizing so hard for so long to turn around and be like, actually, hold on. We don't like what he, how he did it, but the boy a little confused, but he right. So, with the current events in V5, the Salubri as a clan have been wiped from the earth, but they're slowly peeking back out and just being like, hey guys, hey, we're here.
So they weren't completely wiped.
No.
Yeah.
Very close, though.
There's always been rumors that they've existed, but they're actually now starting to show up again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, particularly in the West, because as we talked about with the last major enclave of the Salubri existing within the Ashira Middle East getting destroyed after World War II, because Westerners were like, oh, well, what if we did all these mandates and like hacked up the Middle East into randomly lined areas for our control purposes and completely ignore hundreds of years of cultural history that existed there for profit. And also, hey, we kicked over this rock and we just realized there's like 12 Salubri just hiding here. What if we just stomped them out? These guys are problems. They eat souls and are demon worshippers.
Oh, poor guys.
I can't believe the Ban Hakim, who we've been accusing of working with demons for centuries, would have these demon worshippers in their house. That is weird. We've saved you, friend. You're welcome.
So the Banu were probably protecting them.
And then they just got fucked.
I wonder.
Yay.
This is deeper machinations, but with... the Banu now making a pact with the Western vampires and stepping into that, if that has something to do with the Salubri also slowly being like, hey guys. If they found some of them, but they were likely protecting a lot more of them, and now that they're out.
Here's the one note. I didn't put this in the script initially because I wasn't sure where to put it. And I was half tempted to save it for the Banu Hakim episode, but fuck it. I'll just do it now.
We'll probably bring it up again.
There is... a note. I'm spacing on which book it is, but there is a note that earlier in the script, and I was like, yeah, all of the other vampires are constantly going on about like how cool and groovy Salubri was, or Salot was back in the day. All of them except one, and it was Hakim. Hakim was the one vampire that's like, that boy ain't right. I don't know.
That makes sense to me anyway, because Salot did kind of show up and piss everyone off there at some point in that part of the world, and him being... one of the major figures over there just being like, nah, fuck them.
Yeah.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, the first and second cities, as far as we can tell, should have existed somewhere in the Middle East. So most of the clan founders are some shade of Middle Eastern, Mediterranean, something like that. So being in the Middle East, unfortunately, makes it annoying to talk about the West and the East, and then we have this middle section.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This makes it... makes it difficult. It's almost like people live in shades of gradient constantly. Weird. So with Hakim being one of the core, 13 vampire clans of the decidedly Western canon. Yeah, he was the only one that was just like, thumbs up. I don't know, guys.
Was there any reason that he said?
I didn't see anything at the time. It was just Hakim was the only one that had, And part of the reason Hakim was embraced was because Cain was like, I want this person to be the one who judges all other vampires for their good and bad deeds.
Yeah.
And having that one guy just be like,
I don't like it.
It reads very much, what was the name of the detective from Dexter? That was like, surprise, motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
Dokes, I think was his name. Yeah, it's very that guy. We're just like, he's doing something.
I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
It's also specifically interesting, though, that those same people who are like, I don't like him, were like, we should protect his kids.
Yeah, because it's just
it gives
like...
more insight into what they think he's up to.
Yeah, where they're like, the Salubri are fine. That guy, though.
Not okay.
Doing something. I don't know.
Yeah, that is interesting.
There's a whole lot there. I think we could probably talk about it again in the their episode. Because, I mean, of the Western canon, they are the most Eastern of the clans. So the fact that, Salubri specifically seemed like he was like, oh, my children are like monks and scholars and noble knights, and then went over the East and just fucked around constantly, and then came back and was like, I've brought you gifts of enlightenment and entertainment, and then it's like, all right, go fucking kill all my kids over there. Like, it seems like he's specifically like trying to put on a face in the West, and then goes out East and is like, well, just these people, doing whatever.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, these people don't matter.
Yeah.
To the point that he forgot a bunch of his childhood, and they're just like,
hey, Dad?
I guess we're just gonna keep studying about demons and kicking ass for the Lord? I guess? I'ma just do me.
Fuck my phone.
So, that's kind of what's going on with Salubri, is that they're coming back, and it's, a lot of people are like, oh my god, what does this mean? Ugh. That's kind of the rough of it for major players in the clan. Salot doing something fucked up.
Yep.
That's about it. There wasn't a lot of info there. But right before we started doing this, Renegade dropped a supplemental book for the Book of Nod. I'm going to own as a consumer, I was very annoyed that the way it was set up was you could either buy the Book of Nod that has existed for a while as a copy physically and a PDF, or you can buy this new copy with the supplemental information for V5, but only as a PDF, and it's not all together in one document. I don't mind that that's how it was done. It was just the way it was laid out was very not clear, so when I was purchasing it, I was not sure exactly what I was getting.
Yeah.
But that's just me, consumer note.
I'm surprised they didn't do what they've done with everything else and give that away as a free supplement. Because so many of their books have had, like, free addendum supplements.
Well, considering they just announced the Gehenna Wars book that they're hopefully, it's for pre-order now. Hopefully it'll be out by August this year. So I think this book is supposed to be in preparations for that, because it is a supplement to the Book of Nod, which I do recommend this PDF, because there's a lot of cool shards and fragments of Books of Nod from ancient times that have resurfaced, that are things that have come up in collections that are interesting, cool things. And on top of that is lore sheets, which is one of the only lore sheets that is Salubri specific.
Ooh, and it's called
Machinations of Salot.
Oh no.
It is for Tremere or Salubri only, by the way, fam.
Interesting.
Both.
Either. It would be one or the other. So does anybody want to read the text from that? Because it is...
There's seven pages long.
There's three paragraphs, so we could each take one.
How about...
One, while some Nodists regard Salot as a veritable saint, others who study the history of the Salubri and Salot see him as a dangerous player in the eternal struggle. Possibly the most sinister of all antediluvians. Clans Salubri and Tremere, among others, have studied the travels and words of Salot and fear the mastermind that may lurk behind the facade of saintliness.
Salot is rumored to have sired the Salubri as a means of testing his knowledge and creating goodwill towards his fellow antediluvians, with no qualms about discarding them as he vanished, a victim of diablerie by Tremere. Rumors spread amongst those in the know that Tremere may have lost the Battle of Wills when committing diablerie on Salot, and Salot's diablerie may have been simply another move in the jihad.
If Salot's ultimate goal is mastery over his fellow antediluvians and all kindred, he would manipulate a small remnant of philosophers, healers, and warriors, as well as a world-spanning authoritarian cabal of once blood-bound sorcerers.
Damn.
With the recent fractures in the Tremere clan's pyramid structure, the Beckoning, and the Gehenna Crusade, Salot's ultimate plans seem increasingly inscrutable. This does not stop many from speculation, however.
Huh.
And I'm just like, yeah, so I had done all of this reading and research for all the Clan Salubri, all the Salot shit, and then right when I was getting towards the end of getting all that shit done, this fucker dropped. And I went, thank you for confirming everything I've been fucking saying for years.
So my question
is...
So this is
a lore sheet, though. Does it say what you get for it?
Yeah, there's... I didn't for here, but...
Okay. Cool. I'll have to check
that
out.
There's a bunch of cool shit for that. And there's some other lore sheets that have implications for people that want to get into Nodism and all that kind of shit.
Do you know the general gist of, like, the bonuses you get for that lore sheet? Is it, like, more, like, knowledges or...
Give me a second to pull it up, because when I first wrote this, I did, but we had a break between now and then, and my deleted it.
I'm on it right now. I'm Googling it.
Yeah. Boop. I just need to open... Da, 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 da. I'm trying to be quick, but it's just taking forever to open.
It's not showing up on here anyway. Oh, here we go. Okay. Gives bonuses and drawbacks shared between... It doesn't fucking tell me anything.
Cool.
Yeah, that's on the Paradox Wiki. Yeah. It just says it gives bonuses and bad things.
Yeah, I actually have the document. It was just taking for fucking ever to open the actual goddamn PDF for some goddamn reason.
But it's page 39.
Yeah, just trying to get there. Oh, yeah, I forgot. The page that's about Gehenna cult specifically has artwork of somebody with a crescent moon-like body or birthmark.
Hmm.
Which for old players, that has some fucking implications. So when I first saw that, like, I set the phone down and was like, oh no. I see where this is going. Yeah, there's stuff for having knowledge about the activities of the Salubri or the Tremere. Oh, there's something that gives you bonuses to Auspex, Blood Sorcery, Dominator, Oblivion powers. Holy shit.
Damn. Oh.
Which I'm like, Oblivion? Hold on a second. What?
Interesting.
Oh, I'm going to read this one just because it's spooky. The 3.1, Salat Smile. When Tremere committed Diablerion Salat, the sire of all Salubri smiled. Once per story, when witnessing another kindred perform an action, you can ask the storyteller what their motivation was for doing so.
Holy shit.
Damn.
Yeah. Holy
That's shit. Once per story?
Once per story.
Okay.
Yeah. So Damn. Once per, like, major story arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck. What? There's another one. Once per story, you can summon your sire or one of your child or someone who has tasted your blood as per the presence power summon.
That's a good power,
using
too.
Your Auspex or Dominate reading instead of your presence. You can ignore such summons yourself once per story. Damn. Holy shit. The 5.0, Ultimate Disguise. Your expertise in Salat's ways gives you an advantage few others have. You possess traits of both Clan Salubri and Tremere. You may learn blood sorcery or fortitude as if they were an in-clan discipline, but suffer both the clan's banes or compulsions.
So you're taking extra banes and compulsions, but you're just getting a discipline.
But you have access to a discipline. You don't have to pay the out-of-cost for it.
That's pretty cool.
Fucking bananas.
That is really expensive buy-in, though.
That's an expensive buy-in, but depending on how you want to build a character, holy shitballs.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, it does make sense to have a Salubri. And that answers a question I had earlier, mm-hmm. almost. We'll wrap this into final thoughts.
Yes.
Because with the Thin Bloods becoming more common, mm-hmm. and the Thin Bloods developing a new form of magic, mm-hmm. who do you think would be interested in learning all about that?
Yeah.
So, if there's Salubri in town and the Thin Bloods start disappearing.
Well,
It
would make sense, considering the nature of the Salubri, to have some of them who are more good natured to be like, oh, look at the babies.
Mm-hmm.
I protect. And then, unfortunately, depending on if their antediluvian decides to reach through the power of blood, and they're like, I have a science experiment for you, by the way.
Do this thing.
And they're just like, I mean, sure. Like, yeah.
If that's what you need, I trust that it's for the, you know, for mm-hmm. the greater good.
Uh-oh.
And I'm starts just like,
slaughtering half-bloods or thin bloods.
Starts like asking Eating. The thin bloods to test things.
Yeah.
For them.
God, this terrifying setup for a new player. You know how they have the rumor that the Salubri were existing by like siring someone, training them and having them eat them.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine them. What happened if I did that to a thin blood?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just taking in thin bloods, like being like protected and be like, now you have to eat me.
Yeah, I just, okay. So I just realized something with the build, with that 5.0 that lets you have access to fortitude. Hi, I'm somebody who's played a lot of Tremere and I often play consensualist because I just like that play style. One of the benefits is you get a free dot in fortitude. And I'm like, cool, what if I got that free dot? And then because I took this thing, fortitude's now an in-clan thing for me. So if I were to continue to add the fortitude tree to myself, it's not as expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a Tremere as a tank. Oh, no. No!
That would have to be a pretty high-level game to have the points to start doing things like that. But yeah. Terrifying in theory.
I'm just throwing this out as like an antagonist, potentially. Just be like, hey, what if you had a Tremere that was pulled into whatever the fuck Salat is doing by mistake and is now like an agent of whatever this is and is like, cool, I could do blood sorcery, I have really high Auspex, and also I have a fuckload of fortitude. I'm just like, that's terrifying. No.
Also, I know these are very long last thoughts, but if you want to take his historical methods further, and all of a sudden, a group of warriors show up in your city and are like, We're here to get rid of the Tremere for what they did to Dad.
Yeah, that would be the Furies, the Intertribu. Yeah.
It could be, I could see it almost being either it in could, these yeah. nights.
That's fair.
It could be the Furies, or it could just be some regular Salubri who are like, we're done with you. Sorry, we're the Warriors. You're like the Bali to us now. No. And like start in Second Crusade.
Mm-hmm.
And then all your city is trapped between a clan that you thought was dead who's shown up and just started beheading people and attacking wizards in the streets and the wizards.
Yes. Attacking wizards in the streets with knives. They're just like...
Yeah, I imagine shredding. They're still using swords and shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love the... okay, so we always make characters.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and say now I'm making a paladin.
Do it.
He's going to... Yep. He is the right hand of Salot. He thinks he's doing good, though.
Yeah, or
maybe
you have warriors that stuck really hard to the code of Samael, and they're just like, I don't know what Dad's doing, but it's fucked up.
Yes.
No, you could save the world, but not like this. Me.
Or even more fucked up idea.
Mm.
So we know a lot of them just love Salot's ass, and they're like, well, if Dad's doing it, we should. A group of Salubri who show up and then all start diabolizing Tremere to turn themselves to gain those powers.
Oh, no.
Just like Dad.
Mm-hmm.
It was like Uno reverse, bitch.
Uno reverse.
Fuck. All right, so final thoughts outside of our just, like, horrors of the implications of things that could be
our
happening.
Conspiracy theories here.
Yeah.
I feel like I love our idea of Whoops All Salubri. When we start doing, like, one-shots and actual plays, definitely want to go on the list because... Mm-hmm. They're a clan that I've probably interacted with the least. I don't know if I've ever actually had one show up in a game that I've been into. I feel like, I know you've complained about this in past, is when they show up, they tend to take over the story no matter what's going on. And they tend to get, if they're in a game, they tend to be the target of everyone because, of course they are. They're very tasty snacks, let alone anything else they're up to. But I feel like there's a little more wiggle room with that now.
A little bit.
You can, if... The lore seems to be hinting that there are more of them and they're starting to show up more in Modern Nights. So you don't have to make it... Well, it's still a big deal. Mm-hmm. It might be less like, this is one of the seven. Even if people think that, and more like, weird, I thought you guys were gone. I'll keep an eye on you, and not like, uh-oh, something's happening. Run.
Yeah.
It's a little less of a, our entire chronicle is skewed because your character walked into Elysium.
I think that with... Salubri, it's always been a very, like, you have to hide your clan anyway. Almost like Caitiff a lot of the time. Are like, no, I'm totally this other clan that my disciplines kind of line up with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like that's a big thing that they've always done, too. So once they are like, oh, whoops, I've got a third eye. Yeah, they do tend to, that third eye tends to move a campaign in a different direction. So
you just got to get really good at having a fringe.
If you want to play a game, though, with a Salubri and you don't want to have to make one player the entire focus of the story, I think there is more room for that for at your table. Like, I think you can allow that and more. I would still play it as, like, a lot of the special... I think the younger vampires might not even really get it because a lot of the older people are gone. So maybe they haven't even heard the story. And so they're just like, oh, we got all these weird new vampires coming over anyway. The Banu Keem are here all the time now. Some others disappeared. There's some guys with a third eye, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah, it'd
be the older vampires in general would be like...
Yeah, it's like all three over eyes over here is way less problematic than the Nagaraja guy who's got shark mouth. He won't stop eating people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like the ancient Italian bloodlines that are just showing back up.
Yeah. That just actively look like corpses.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're worse than the fucking Nosferatu. I can at least put a little hat on him.
Like, make him look fancy.
Like, there's cosplayers and shit. Like, he can just be a VTuber. He doesn't even have to go outside.
Sorry. Can't put a hat on you. It just sloths off.
It's like, you smell like corpse, man. And your friends need to stop fucking their sisters. Sorry. The incest jokes with the Giovanni are very
so
funny
good.
To me. I'll never get over it. But, yeah, I think Salubri are deeply interesting, but because they're so tied in with the meta plot, it is hard to just casually have that at your table if you don't want to have players in a game that want to engage with that shit.
I think there are multiple ways to do it. I think using the hand wave of in general, the vampires around are so much younger, they just don't understand the implications. If you want to keep those implications around, you could also, I think, in a, like, anarch city, they would not only be like, oh, we should protect and take advantage of their being here, but also they also, a lot of them might not just know, just like, oh, that's a new type of vampire.
You could have salubri that have decided that, like, well, if my goal is to defend truth, justice, and the American way, I could go be an anarch in the movement.
Mm-hmm. Could be an anarch in the movement. I also like the idea that a lot of them might coterie up with Banu, who are, like, the judges and who have been protecting them for so long. If your city has to bring in Banu now, and maybe some salubri come along with it, and that's an interesting thing that everyone else has to deal with. And they're like, they're not part of the Camarilla. No, but they're with me.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, I could bring this up to your Toreador Primogen and see what they have to say about that.
Yes.
Yes. Just like, I'm just going to run this bitch up the chain. Okay, cool. I am glad people have enjoyed this. Everybody who's listened so far, I appreciate you dealing with me just losing my mind over the course of doing this, because Jesus fucking... Salah's been a busy boy, and a lot of the lore stuff for him is super interesting, but it's also a lot of just, it's in implications.
The implication.
And
the
a implications. Lot of... The implications have skewed darker and more nefarious with each addition of Vampire, because very early on, it's like, Salah is the goodest boy.
Yeah.
Best boy.
And then Senpai's he's like, favorite. He made a couple bad choices.
And then there's a couple, like, season two rolled around, and it's like, okay, maybe there's some, like, depth to what he's doing and whatever. Mm-hmm. And now we're at season five, and it's like, by the way, Salop might be the BBEG.
Right.
Maybe.
He gives me Homelander vibes, where it's like, every time you think he can't be a worse character, something like, else happens.
Whoops.
It's very Dennis and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
It's like, you know, the implications.
The implications.
And then as time is going on, he's just a screaming psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, oops, well.
Here we are.
Ah, and I mean, how do you handle that if, like, you're chill and a good person and you're just trying to make it through this world of darkness and your great-grandfather is just all of the problems? Oops. Anyways, thank you, Paralyze, for the muzak.
Music.
It is good. There's millions of dead cyborgs.
So many of them.
Millions of dead salubri.
Yeah, well.
Some of them might be cyborgs.
In the future.
We haven't gotten to anything mage related.
We haven't yet. Let alone. Yeah, it's fair. That is fair. I don't, my brain does not want to deal with hit marks at the moment.
We have an Instagram.
We do.
It's Blank Bodies Pod.
And we also have TikTok at Blank Bodies Podcast if you want cool memes and to interact with us. We have the interview series that we're trying to get together.
Yeah, we have
some stuff lined up.
We have a bunch of people we've been talking to. We have a really cool one that's going to come out after next week's bonus episode for Salubri that I think some of y'all will really enjoy.
And we should have patron polls for the next clan.
The episode and the poll go up together.
Okay, perfect.
So those will have been out last week. But so if you're checking those out, we just put out our Lost Boys episode.
Yeehaw!
On the Patreon.
So that'll
hear us talk about some Lost Boys.
Claw. Crab time crab.
Go check out our Patreon.
Go check that shit out. Give us some dollar dues for the work that we're doing. Also, thanks people in the community for being supportive of all the hard work we've been doing.
Yeah, we really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up the... We got highlighted in an article, guys. We got noticed. Holy shitballs. I wanted to give a shout out to Rowan Cardosa, who's the lady that wrote the article.
Yes, for the gamer.
Yeah,
thank you.
So thanks for the shout out. We appreciate you. We're going to keep trucking. As we can. Thanks. I'm going to go lay down, I guess.
I don't know what I'm going to do today yet.
Oh.
But I'm going to try to make it an adventure.
I believe in you.
Thanks.
I thought we were going to record another episode.
We are going to.
Well, I mean, after that.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
Hopefully, Salad's not inside of you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.